Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 21st day of April, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Build a Better Mousetrap. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Ambeth. Callers will be welcome later in the program. We do ask that you keep them short and to the point so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which generally means one at a time. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. A lot of information there. I've got some good feedback recently from some of the new people that have come to the website. Very interesting connections are being made all over the earth between people of like mind. Even if we're not 100% in agreement, there is a seeking for truth. And so I've got some very, very good feedback for folks out there and for the handful of supporters that I have. Bless your hearts. You keep things going. And it is so much appreciated. So again, it's www.pastordan.net. A lot of links for health information, news, references for biblical studies, calendar, interesting articles. There's the new page Lock and Load for for folks out there want information about firearms, what they should have. And as the New World Order is making attempts to denigrate those that have weapons, it should tell you what their motives are and what their agenda is, okay? Anybody knows that having a weapon does not make you a criminal, even though they're trying to get the general public to perceive us as that way. In the Old West, during the days of Judge Roy Bean, of course, it was a very peaceful time because there was harsh judgment against criminals. And people carried weapons, as it used to be said in the old days, an armed society is a polite society. Why is that? Because if you piss somebody off, he just might shoot you. So you wouldn't break into his house, steal his car, steal his horse, try to steal his wife or harm his children, because he would shoot you. Seems pretty simple to me. We give a shout-out to Jimmy up there in Tampa and his TV audience through a studio. Today he's calling it Cigar Jimmy. It used to be Bank versus UTV. But like most truth-tellers today, there is heavy censorship, and they're trying to put roadblocks up to anybody trying to get the truth out there. So, you know, you should not be surprised when you have stumbling blocks thrown in front of you, because our Heavenly Father told us it would be that way. You are a representative of the Father, and as such, the world hates you. Okay, that's pretty easy to tell. You know, I remember as a boy when I attended the Methodist Church pretty much every Sunday, and I used to think about when I read that verse that the world would hate you. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. The world doesn't hate the Methodists. The world doesn't hate the Catholics. The world doesn't hate Baptists. Doesn't hate Presbyterians. So what the hell does that verse mean? I mean, the world doesn't hate us. So are we really doing things right? Well, many years later, over two decades later, Yahweh opened my eyes to the biblical truth that we know as identity, and then it made perfect sense. The world hates identity because it correctly identifies the players in the Bible and who's who, okay? And that's why they hate it. The enemy hates the truth, no matter what it's in, but especially when it's biblical truth, because as Christ told us, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, the New World Order wants you to be a slave. And that is very much in the process of happening. And if you know anything about the new 5G Internet of all things, even Trump has alluded to a so-called 6G, so that must be on the drawing board, or it's in the prototype stage if he mentioned it. So they've already developed it, getting ready to throw it out there on you. Well, we have a guest from Spain that says he's not getting any audio. If anybody's having trouble with audio, please either blog it on the window or send me an email. By the way, during the program, the best way to get me, if you're on a computer, you can use the blog window here on freeconferencecall.com. If you're on a phone or in another zone, use my email, which is BYD, by Yahweh's design, BYD Pastor Dan. That's all together, no spaces, BYD Pastor Dan at yahoo.com. Okay, everybody says the audio is fine. Okay, so that's good. Good, good, good. So apparently our brethren in Spain needs to reload his program or make a better connection. Probably it's something on that end. Okay, the reason for the topic for today, Build a Better Mousetrap, I'm going to read it here in a second, is because of some new quotes that were sent to me, and I think you're going to like these. These triggered me to come up with this title, but also I've been talking to some of the white stallions, and it seems to have triggered something, and it may be where the Father wants us to go. We're in the dark, you know, this is the Passover period for the true believers of our Heavenly Father Yahweh, and we all know what the Passover is about. I mean, surely you've looked into it. You've read the accounts in the book. You've read the commentaries. I mean, there's endless commentaries on what Passover is all about. But the main thing I like to focus on is the feasts were always a remembrance and a rehearsal, as Richard Ford used to say. And it's a remembrance of the time that our Heavenly Father delivered the Hebrews that were held captive in Egypt. And often the scriptures talk about that period of time because our people are captive in a new type of Egypt. This is a virtual reality Egypt that we live in today. Our people are literally captive. All you got to do is walk down the street and see their faces glued to their electronic toilets, whether they're small toilets in the form of a cell phone or a tablet, or larger toilets in the form of computers. Okay, so we're captive once again. So Father cursed the Pharaoh of that time for his noncompliance and said he was going to kill or destroy the firstborn, and he was going to send a death angel to do that. And he told the Hebrews to put lamb's blood over the doorposts and lintel. Lintel is the cross member at the top of the door. So the lamb's blood was put upon the lintel and doorposts of their house. Okay, well, that's a foreshadowing of the coming of the Christ, okay? So Christ has already come. Therefore, the reason for it being a forecast of the future, obviously, is no longer there. So now we do it in remembrance, as a memorial to what our Father has done for us. He died on the cross to atone for our sins and to reunite us. But, again, his blood, the lamb's blood at the time of the Passover, looked forward to the lamb's blood upon the cross or whatever instrument they used to sacrifice our Father. The blood at the time of the Egyptian captivity, of course, marked them as true believers in Yahweh, and then the death angel passed over. So at this particular time, the sons and daughters of Yahweh should be looking to that feast time in remembrance that we are once again trapped in Egypt. We're in bondage, economic bondage, industrial slaves, literally all of mankind is, but particularly the sons and daughters of Yahweh. And a curse is going to come upon this earth. He is going to send the death angel once again. There is a fiery judgment coming upon those who are not believers, those who follow after the beast, worship the beast, and the image controlled by the beast. It's not an image of, in the sense it looks like the beast. No, that's ridiculous. It's the images controlled by the beast off the flat screens. And so if the Lamb's blood covers you, if you've been covered by the blood of the Lamb, that's the only thing the mainstream churches ever get right, at least they used to. Today they probably don't do it. But the Lamb's blood covers us, okay? And it's a very precious thing, and it protects us. It not only gives us the Holy Spirit as a comforter and sets us apart from the world, it changes us. We become a new creature in Christ. Or at least I hope you have. If you haven't, you might want to reconsider your position with the Father. And that Lamb's blood is also what will cause a Passover on this second advent of our Father, so that the curses that are about to come upon mankind will not come onto his sons and daughters. And I've spoken to quite a few folks recently who are walking away from Babylon. One gentleman recently told me he's going to throw his cell phone away. He's canceling it completely. He said, if my business wants me to have one, then they can provide it. But I'm not going to pay for it. I'm not going to carry it. I've stopped carrying mine as well. I use it as a landline. It just sits in one place. Most of the time it's in airplane mode and in a Faraday bag. And if folks don't know what a Faraday cage or a Faraday bag is, it's named after Michael Faraday, who was a researcher and scientist, and that's where we get the designation for capacitors in farads is from Michael Faraday. But anyway, a Faraday cage blocks all electromagnetic waves coming in or going out. And it's the only way to be sure that the beast is not tracking or turning on your device without your knowledge. So the world is waking up at this Passover time. And this is also a critical time because the enemy mocks the living God. This is a holy week for the satanic forces as well. Okay? And there's been a lot of nefarious things going on, for instance, at Notre Dame. By the way, it's kind of interesting, and since Michael's listening in, hopefully he can hear now, but Notre Dame is French for Our Lady, okay? In English, we call it Notre Dame, but we've butchered it because that's the English. The French, of course, sounds much better, Notre Dame. And Dame in French is lady, where dame in English is just a female, and sometimes a female that might be a little bit on the loose side is a dame. Whereas in French, the original language, Dame is a lady. Okay? So, Our Lady. Now, isn't it interesting that the Roman Catholics put great emphasis on Mary? In fact, they put more emphasis on Mary and the saints than they do Christ himself, really. So that was always a clue to me, even as a young man, to stay away from the Roman Catholic Church. First of all, the idea of calling a man father, which goes directly against Scripture, and confessing to a priest. Why would I confess to a priest when I confess straight to the Father himself? See, none of that made sense. And then that the priests and nuns can't get married, that goes against Yahweh's law. Men and women are supposed to get together. Now, if you're one of the very rare, and I do mean rare, individuals who simply doesn't require nor desire a physical relationship with the other sex, well, okay, you have a calling, and celibacy is one of the three states that the Father recognizes. Okay, it recognizes celibacy, monogamy, and polygamy. Those are the three states. And for the folks out there that don't like that about the polygamy, well, that's your problem, not mine. Okay? So, to build a better mousetrap, Okay, I'm going to read through these things, and this is really, really good. This was sent to me by Michael about a week ago, but it explains exactly what's going on in the white nations of this world. It is called a cacistocracy. Cacistocracy. Okay, it's obviously from Greek. Defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. Another dictionary puts it this way: government by the least qualified or most unprincipled citizens. And in our case, even unprincipled non-citizens. Okay, that just shows you the level of the demise of the United States of America. It's unbelievable. We're not even a shadow of our former self. We've deteriorated to that point. Okay, now these next two are why I picked the title for today, and we're going to get into a discussion of building a better mousetrap. The first is a quote by a rather famous individual, Richard Buckminster Fuller, and you can look him up online if you want to know more about him. But this is an excellent, excellent quote, because this is a model for where we need to go. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. What's the beast trying to get us to do? Fight the existing reality. We have to fight it within the system. No, you'll never win fighting within the system. So you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. Hallelujah. That's exactly where our focus should be. Build a new model. Okay, I quoted it as building a better mousetrap, and that's because of the next quote. But the same thing is build a new model. See, the Proverbs tell us that my people suffer from a lack of knowledge or truth. That's two proverbs that say that. But there's a third proverb that's very close, but slightly different. My people suffer from a lack of vision. Most Israelites or Caucasian people today do not have a vision of liberty. They can't even visualize a new model. They've been industrial slaves in Egypt for so long, they think if we leave this Egyptian bondage that we'll perish. Really? No wonder Christ said, "Will I find faith when I return? Will I find faith on the earth when I come back?" Not much, from the look of things. People think that little g God government is the provider of all things. All things must be government. All land is owned by government. All laws come from government. All enforcement comes from government. Even our safety and health is in the hands of little g God government. Will I find faith upon the earth? No. The answer is no. There is so little faith today, it's beggar's description. Why do I say that? Because where are the signs of faith? Where is the new model that people are seeking after? Instead, they're trying to get as many shekels as the Jews will pass out, even to the point where the Federal Reserve is putting out digital shekels. They're not even real. They don't even print paper money anymore, hardly, let alone gold and silver coin, as the Constitution states. They print out digital shekels, and we're fighting for them and bowing to the little g God government for those digital shekels. Where is the faith of the fathers? It's nowhere to be found. Okay, the second part of our topic came from this quote of Ralph Waldo Emerson. And surely, well, I don't know. If you had a public school education, you might not recognize either of these two names, but I recognize it. Ralph Waldo Emerson, because we had to read some of his material in school. But he had a work that was called The Value of Good Work, and it's the basis of the saying that we've heard, at least I've heard from the time I was a child, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a door to your, or the world will beat a path to your door. Okay, well, that's a shortened transliteration of what Ralph Waldo Emerson actually wrote, and here's what he actually had written. If a man can write a better book, preach a better sermon, or make a better mousetrap, then his neighbors, though he builds his house in the woods or wilderness, the world will make a beaten path to his door. So the transliteration we use today is very close, obviously, and people's memories are not as good as they used to be, but the original makes much more sense, and I like it a lot better. But if you can't remember the whole thing, well, then just, if you build a better mousetrap, the door will beat a path to, or the world will beat a path to your door. It's the same idea that we've got right now. If we can come up with a better mousetrap, if we can come up with a better model than what the world is offering, which is basically economic slavery, industrial slavery, if we can show them that under Yahweh's law, you have liberty, true liberty, not this fake stuff. Phil, I'll get you in just a second. As in the movie, The Field of Dreams, you know, if you build it, he will come, was the original. It's transmuted or morphed into, if you build it, they will come. And even in the movie, they end up coming as well. But the original line by Kevin Costner, the voice of God supposedly speaking to him, is, if you build it, he will come. And Shoeless Joe Jackson, of course, is the he that will come. But all the rest of the players, and eventually his own father comes, so that's where it morphed into, they will come if you build it. You have to build the ball field to get him to come. After he comes, then the rest of the team, and eventually his father comes as well. Excellent movie, by the way. A lot of morals there. And one last quote here, and then I'll get Phil. This is the Roman Emperor Trajan. Now, this is a quote to the leaders of our people. Okay, I want you generals, commanders, lieutenants, field commanders of the militia, pay attention. This is exactly the attitude of our military commanders should be. Again, it's Roman Emperor Trajan. Use this sword against my enemies. If I give righteous commands. Notice it's a conditional statement. He's saying, pick up the sword, pick up the M16, pick up the Colt 1911, and use it against my enemies if I give righteous commands. But if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me. Hallelujah. That's exactly the attitude every commander of our people should have. I'm not going to send you into the field of battle expecting you to go fight and bleed and die for my causes when I'm going to sit my fat ass in a chair in Washington, D.C., or in a state capitol, or behind a bunker somewhere. No, you're going to be out there in the front with the men. And if at any point you issue a command that's unrighteous, then those weapons will be turned on you. That's exactly as it should be. You see, that's why the government wants to disarm us, ladies and gentlemen, because they know that they're issuing unrighteous commands to our military, to our police officers, and to our civilians. They know they're unrighteous, and they are afraid that we will turn our weapons on them. That's exactly what's happening. All right, let me grab Phil here. Welcome to the program, Phil. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I it's been a long time since I've been on the show. I've been rather busy and preoccupied, but I definitely do listen, and I love your show, and And you really are a blessing in this crazy, insane world that we live in. And I want to thank you so much for all your service.
Oh, thank you, Phil. That means a lot, buddy.
And I'm sure you're what?
I said a thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, it does. So, but you know, you do hate evil, which is something that I admire, and it's frustrating to find people that ignore that fact. You know, that responsibility that we have. And I went, and as you were mentioning about, you know, that great quote from Trajan, what I find my problem that we have in this world that we live in is that I find people that actually deny the existence of a soul. And you know, whatever your religious belief is, whether or not there's a God, if you don't believe in a soul, then there's absolutely nothing. And so rather than having the courage to be able to fight, you flee from the battle at hand, because it's just you're simply existing, and you're just a shell, and you're you know, and so it's this life and this life alone. I'm not saying you're not going to be fearful of battle, but as the great Stonewall Jackson said, that my faith requires me, you know, mandates that I am as comfortable in battle as I am in bed. And so if you don't have a soul, then you have no hope for the future, regardless of what divine being you worship. So, and that's what I find today. And this denial of the existence of the soul is why we have all the problems we have today.
So, boy, that's an excellent point, Phil. I'm glad you shared that with us, because you're right. And to me, that is why this system has pushed evolution and the heliocentric model and all this stuff, is to make us feel like we're just here by some stroke of accident and happenstance, and we're not put here by intelligent design, and that, you know, when we die, we just turn into a big pile of dust. And, you know, that's ridiculous. Obviously, we're spiritual. Obviously, there is a soul. Obviously, something happens after we perish. And yet they've convinced a whole lot of people that we're, you know, again, we're soulless, just blobs of material going through the motions, and then it's all over.
Yep. And you can't, you know, you can't do anything. This explains the race mixing issue. You know, I mean, if you're, you know, the whole point of identity is that you have a certain group of people that have life breathed into them from Father himself. You know, that they actually have a soul, and all the other ones are created beings. But if you don't have if you deny that existence, then messing around with a Negro or any one of these other pre-Adamics, okay, is just a matter of taste. Like, As Voltaire once said, he famously said, "I like women like other people like strawberries." That's how he pretty much referred to it. And so there's no actual consequences. And if you're not able to fight, if you don't truly believe in the soul, you're not going to want to fight, and you're not going to be willing to fight in battle and risk your life. You know, and the good kings, the ones that you remember, the ones, the heroic ones, they're the ones who fought in front of the battle. You know, and it's only later, when their ancestors got lazy and decided they weren't going to fight for the kingdom, that they ended up becoming lazy bums, pieces of trash that don't care about anything but their own how much money they have, or how many or whatever, you know. So they don't have any responsibility towards their people, and that's where we're at today. And it just drives me crazy. It affects every single part of our life.
Amen. Amen. What, excuse me. We got a tickle in my throat. Excellent point. And you're right. Again, that's why they try to separate us from that knowledge, separate us from the Father, the knowledge of the spiritual aspect. Do you remember, it was some years ago, I read an article about a Russian experiment. The Russians had developed some kind of, like, insanely accurate scale. And they took... And I have no idea why they even thought of this, but they were taking people with their permission who were about to pass over, and they would put them on this scale and measure their weight down to the, like, a tenth of a gram. And what they did was they monitored it, and at the moment these people passed away, and it didn't matter if it was a small baby to a 300-pound, 90-year-old man, okay? It didn't matter. Size, sex, weight, nothing. At the moment of passing over, the body's weight went down approximately 8 grams. Every time. So, you know, what do you postulate? What do you postulate happened that a body would lose exactly 8 grams at the moment of transpiring or passing over to the other side? I mean, obviously, and people say, well, spirit and soul, it has no mass. It has no, you know, you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can feel it. At least you should be able to feel it. But this was the first experiment that quantified any attribute of the living soul, and that was to put a weight on it in grams of approximately 8 grams, which is very, very small amount of weight. But it's finite, it's distinctive, and it repeated over and over and over. Have you ever heard of that experiment?
I've never heard of that, but that's very interesting. I would, you know, I wouldn't at all be surprised, you know, and so, you know, and it is, you know, it's 8. It's kind of, you know, it's you know, 7 is God's number, and then you have the individual added on to that. And I could see how that would affect the body. I really could. So, because I've, you know, and
well, Lane from Texas was writing in that's the air leaving the body. I would disagree with that, because the amount of air in a baby's lungs and the amount of air in a full-size grown man's lungs is significantly different. So if it was just the air leaving the body, you would have a different weight. And the Russian article was talking about the fact that the weight was exactly the same every time. So, like so many things, you know, things that point to the reality of our soul and the world that we live in, oftentimes there's people that try to put it down and they try to explain it away. Max Egan just did a really good program on 5G, what it's doing to us, the Internet of all things. Jimmy just says here, there was an experiment, it was 21 grams. I might have the value wrong, but the point of it is it was very small. 21 grams is less than an ounce, and it was consistent. That's the thing that struck me, was the consistency. It had nothing to do with the size of the person. It was the consistency of it. So, but anyway, Max Egan was talking about the fact that this Internet of all things and this 5G system and then the 6G that will follow it is all about a virtual wall, a virtual wall around us to entrap us and to monitor literally every single thing that goes on. And one of the things I realized, since I know a little bit about ham radio or amateur radio, these little walkie-talkies, these security walkie-talkies, have a very short range. Think about it. The 5G antenna will be everywhere, and they will literally only be maybe 100 yards or less away from each other. So you won't even be able to communicate on little handheld walkie-talkies without Big Brother spying on it, capturing it, digitizing it, and monitoring it. 5G will literally capture every single thing that's going on in this world and monitor it and then give you a score as to whether they consider you trustworthy or not. The Chinese are already rolling this out. Have you heard about that, Phil?
No, I have not, but I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and
well, that's what these, that's what all these smart cities, they call them smart cities. They're like the smartphone. Well, it's not smart. It's, mm-hmm. a spy device, you're literally being spied upon by the device. Well, smart cities just expand what the cell phone's doing to you and monitoring you with. And now the whole concept of a smart city is that it will monitor and direct everything going on in that city. Everything.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's Google has now got, you know, it's funny that they use the name Google, you know, and it's like, you know, it's now the new God, And it's kind of, and you basically turns your mind into a wet noodle. Basically, you're just a mindless thing that has to go to your cell phone to get anything. And what you do with having your cell phone, keeping it as like a landline, that's a very smart thing to do. I really think that people should do that. And I just can't stand the fact that this thing is almost like a crack addiction almost, you know. And I don't like it at all. And I have friends that refuse to have a cell phone, and they have a landline, and they're much more healthier, I think, particularly mentally, and they're not they can control what they're going to get and when they're going to get it, and they're not inundated with it, and they don't feel like it's another appendage. And plus, you're able to actually communicate with people the old-fashioned way by talking to them and writing them letters and things like that. And people just don't, you know, they don't communicate like they used to. And they've done studies that show that the further you are from someone else, the more you know, when you try and communicate with them, it's easier for you to hate them. You know, and I remember when texting came out, I thought, that's like the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Who the heck is going to text? And now everybody texts and nobody ever talks, and you can say things on the text, and it can be completely misinterpreted. Plus, you're using all these verbiages and things, and it can just completely, and it'll make you just hate your neighbor, even though the intention was completely opposite.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. Well, one of the listeners asked if you could speak up just a little bit, Phil. You're okay. Just a little bit on the low side.
Okay, sorry about
so,
that.
So, yeah, you always have good content, so, you know, I want to make sure everybody can hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So it's, well, anyway, let me ask you then, as far as the subject about building a better model for folks, have you ever thought about that, or have any thoughts about how we could go forward to build a model that we could show people, well, here's how we could live away from big government, big banks, organized religion, which is all a trap. It's all trying to control us. Any thoughts on that?
I think we need to get back to the basics. I think that we need to look at history and society and all those kinds of things and our heritage. And be willing to stand up and look at the positive aspects of those things. I think we need to begin to realize that technology is not our friend, and so it's being completely counterproductive. I think that I like, you know, a lot of the more traditional ways of life, although it sometimes can sound a lot more idealistic. Because it's a lot easier to tell someone else to go out and pick up a shovel and start digging and working a garden rather than going to your local supermarket and getting your GMO food in a prepackaged box. And I think we need to start teaching people to live beyond their own self-interest, and you'll have a better more productive and more happier life when you look towards things that are not beneficial to you, but beneficial to the society as a whole and our civilization. And we really need to look beyond ourselves, because the problem with America is that everything is so self-centered that people are incredibly lonely. And that's why our people are not having children. That's why they're not, you know, they're living together, but they're not truly married. They're not having a real relationships with their community and with their friends, you know. And they're isolated in their, you know, and they're in a city full of millions of people, and I think it's sad, and I think they need to think beyond their own self-interest, and once they look at these things the way God wants them to look, you know, look at them, then we'll be able to fix our problem. I think we will.
You know, it's interesting. I read an article. Oh, this was a couple months ago, that there's a town in the southern part of Mexico. Now, you know, a lot of our people like to condemn other folks who are not of our DNA, so to speak. And But here's this town in southern Mexico, and as far as I know, it's all Mexican. But they have actually done what we're talking about here. They've actually thrown out all central government. They've thrown out the central banking, and they threw out the organized religion in their town. And this town has 30,000 people in it. So it's not a tiny town. It's a good-sized town. And they have formed a local militia similar to the Chavistas in Venezuela. And the local militia is the police force. And they also guard the town from invaders coming in from the governments of the states or even the Mexican government or any other aliens trying to get into their town. They literally protect it armed, okay? And that town is flourishing. The people are happy as larks. And it's just like Max Ingen or Egan, Max Egan from Australia with the Crow House. He just did a great YouTube video yesterday, or no, 2 days ago. I'm sorry, 2 days ago. He did a great video where he was talking about this very thing. Why don't we just walk away? Stop supporting a fiction. Government is a fiction. The organized religions are fictions. Okay? Organized central banking is a fiction. Okay? You don't even have real money anymore. They're dealing in digital ledger entries. You don't even get anything. And yet you're working your asses off in factories as an industrial slave to pay corrupt bankers for something that never even actually existed. It's only a ledger entry. He says, walk away from it. Just like this town in Mexico. They've gone back to the basics. In the United States, you could look to Ithaca, New York. Decades ago, Ithaca, New York issued its own currency, local currency, for the people that live in the town and the farmers around the town. They have Ithaca hours. It's their paper currency. Okay? They use it locally, and so they are bulletproof to any fluctuations in the Federal Reserve, any fluctuations in the price of gold. They're completely oblivious to it because their Ithaca hours never change value. So they're living the proof that if we walk away from the beast system and stop giving it our allegiance, it will crumble. It will crumble. And people don't even realize how much happier they would be. As Max Egan says, all of the wars, all of the murder, all of the terrorism are acts of governments. They're not individuals. There are no individuals doing these things of quote, terror. It's all government agencies that are doing every bit of it. Every single bit of it is government agencies. What do you think?
Exactly. Yeah, they're having, because the government isn't actually doing anything. They're have except that they're making you think you have to do whatever they tell you to do, and you're the one whose blood is being spilled. You're the one whose labor is being taxed to death. Okay, it's very easy for me to tell you, Dan, that you have to pay. It's easy for me to spend your money. Okay, it's very easy for me to tell you what you need to do, and that's like a slave, and that is a slave, and taxes can only be so beneficial to the point, once it gets to a certain level of taxation, it becomes counterproductive. This has been proven over and over and over again, and the Western societies are being so heavily taxed that they have no incentive to go anywhere, and so you know, I believe in a good government, but there's no such, but under the system there is no good government, and a real good government is one that has a very broad but very narrow structure to protect the people from foreign invasion, to protect the race, to protect the civilization, but yet everything is still kept on a local level. This is what they did in National Socialist Germany. They kept everything localized. Okay, whenever they would have, for instance, labor discussions, they would have the company, the union member, and they'd have a local official. Okay, and then they would have a someone from Berlin who would oversee the thing to make sure that it's not counterproductive to the nation as a whole. But everything was kept on a local level. So you had local traditions, you had local family farms, you didn't have these corporate farms like we have today, which are basically communist collective farms like they have in the Soviet Union. This is nothing like what you're supposed to have. You're supposed to keep everything as much as localized as possible, and you only have a framework at the central government of the nation to just guide them in a certain direction, but not to oversee everything, to keep it centralized. That's why we have our separation of powers. That's why you have the states. The states are independent on their own, but they're supposed to own their own land. You're not supposed to have, the federal government is not supposed to own land. Okay, the only land they're allowed to have is the District of Columbia. They're not supposed to have anything else, and yet they gobble it up all the time, and they're doing it at the detriment of the citizenry, so they can destroy them, and they're doing everything against Yahweh's laws, and not for them. I mean, and you talk about organized religion. Well, I like organized religion if it speaks truth. Our organized religion is the most disorganized pile of garbage there is. It's nonsense. It doesn't have. It only teaches you that you can do whatever the heck you want, and Jesus will forgive you. You can do whatever you want, and you got your ticket to heaven. And now you have this satanic documentary that's celebrating Satanism, okay, and justifying it. And what you see there is basically the Jewish snake eating its own tail. That's what's happening. And so you're using that communism anti-religion aspect, okay, to make a mockery of it in order to make evil good and good evil, and it just destroys everything. And our churches in this Resurrection Sunday have basically just become glorified social clubs. That's all they've become. They serve no greater purpose beyond their own self existence. And they spend their money. They gather the money so they can go off to some third world country, and try and bring in foreign invaders, and destroy our civilization. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, amen. I got a note along the lines of what you're talking about. I got a note from a guy, Dennis. I'll just call him Dennis for now. But he sent me a note along with an article that was written 3 days ago by Pat Buchanan. And the title of the article is Mayor Pete's Crack-Up of Christianity. Of course, he's talking about the mayor of a rinky-dink town, Pete Buttigieg, or however you pronounce that goofy last name. But he's openly gay and going to be running for president, apparently, because he's going to try to use the gay part there to get him elected. But he had this article, or not article, but this message from him pertaining to Pat Buchanan's article. He says here, read Patrick's article carefully, a sad statement on the state of Christianity and our nation. Powerful logic. A couple of things, though. One can be an ardent believer and not believe in religion, so I am not sure how pertinent the status on those leaving religion are, but the rest of the article is powerful. I hate organized religion. It is phony, talking about churchianity. It is mind control. It is the panacea of the people and tool of the government, the one thing I agree with Karl Marx on. In our society, our government is coming around the circle to the point where they are starting to force people to accept things that are patently against their religious or moral beliefs. We now have to lie and call men women, if they so desire, in spite of the fact that it is scientifically impossible, or risk heavy penalties. We are forced to lie and call a couple married when we do not believe that at all. We are forced to pander to wickedness. Then he quotes Isaiah chapter 5, starting at verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. We are in a hell of a mess. An old Edgar Allan Poe's tale about a descent into the maelstrom is a pretty good picture of where we are today. How do you ever wake up such brainwashed, or shall I say brain dead people? You got me. And again, that's written by Dennis about Pat Buchanan's article. A pretty good summary, wouldn't you say?
I think that's spot on. I couldn't say anything. I mean, that's just, yeah, that's absolutely perfect. You know, and we, you know, the beast system is controlling the whore of Babylon, you know, and we're, you know, and everything is being turned upside down, you know, and everything that made our civilization great is being undermined left and right, and it's the people that are celebrating diversity are the ones who are trying to destroy diversity, which I find to be, you know, the epitome of hypocrisy. And I was having a discussion with one of my friends yesterday. He was getting his hair cut, and I was talking to him, and he's like, I can't stand negativity. I said, we need to be a light. You know, I just want to be a light. I said, being negative is good so long as you can correct it. If you're a light, your job is to shine that light on the darkness and to expose it and to destroy it or to have it flee from you. If you don't do that, you have no light whatsoever, and you're just existing, you know. And that's the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. And that's what we have. We have a civilization that refuses to fight for righteousness. And that's what distinguishes your show from some damn church that's two blocks away that isn't doing a damn thing. That's what's the difference between your show and these churches. That's why I'm on this phone and not in a church.
It's interesting you say that. I was told about a couple ladies that are down from Canada recently, and one of the ladies stopped going to church many years ago, but recently there was a tragedy in the family, so she decided she wanted to go to church, and she felt that she could get some solace by going there. And she said, when I walked into the church, I was confused. I couldn't tell if it was a church or a rock concert. And mm-hmm. She went up to one of the people there and said, you know, I thought this was a church. What's going on here? And the person that she talked to said, well, at least it's Christian music. And so it was like, wow. And she just, you know, she basically challenged him on that and said, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. And then she left. But, it, you know, it's like you said, the modern-day churchianity world, we call it the whitewashed sepulchers, or today's churches full of dead men's bones, spiritually dead people, because they don't take a stand for anything. You know, it's the old country-western song, if you won't stand for anything, you'll fall for everything, okay? Mm-hmm. And the people today fall for it all, because they won't take a stand. I don't know if you've have you heard about the United Constitutional Patriots out in, I think it's New Mexico, that are on the border apprehending the invaders?
I've heard of them, but only like just basically that. I don't know any details on it.
Well, supposedly there's a couple hundred, okay, as what I had read. And these guys are organized. I mean, they've got militia uniforms. They look like their prior military. They're very well outfitted. They're very disciplined. They've got their comms set up, their communications, and they are actually doing a good job. I read that they had actually apprehended 300 invaders coming in and turned them over to authorities. They didn't hurt anybody, even though they are armed. But I just saw today where the FBI, of all people, why are they involved at a state issue? I don't know, but the FBI arrested the leader of this militia, claiming that they are, they're kidnapping. Now, can you imagine this? They're going to charge the militia that are apprehending invaders coming into this country with kidnapping, and yet this same government has no problem with Child Protective Services kidnapping children. It has no problem with sending sons and daughters against their will into foreign combat to fight and die. Has no problem with any of that. Has no problem with Jeffrey Epstein and his island where children are abducted and used as sex toys and then later sacrificed. No problem with that. No problem with the people in Washington that are part of Epstein's little charade. They don't have a problem with that. They don't have a problem with Hillary committing treason. They have no problem with Podesta being a pedophile. They don't have a problem with that. But American citizens armed, defending their own land, well, they got a problem with that. I think, Phil, tell me if I'm wrong here. Has the government not proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are now the enemy of the American people? Have they not proven it?
Oh yeah, yeah. They've been the enemy of this country since 1861, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, and it's so blatantly obvious. And you know, the founding fathers, of course, they never thought that the revolution would last, a generation. They thought they'd have another revolution because they really were. While they were very confident, they were also very humble men, and thought that they just were doing some sort of an experiment that wouldn't last. And it's the enemy has gotten complete control of this place, and it's ruining us. A couple weeks ago, now I'm a traditionalist. Okay, I have a strong belief. I have a strong love of Western civilization. And I have a strong love of Western art, real art, not this modernist garbage, this impressionist crap. And a few weeks ago, I decided I was going to actually go to a church, and I decided I'm going to go to one, an old-fashioned one. And so I went to a Greek Orthodox church just to see what it was like, okay? And I went in there, and I went to the service, and it was a beautiful service, even though I didn't know one thing they were saying. And when I walked in the service, they had all these pictures of all these saints on the wall. They were all white men, all white bearded men, okay. And after the service, I went over and I hung out with some of the people, and I was talking to this old man, and he looks at me, and he says to me, "What the hell are we going to do about these damn Jews?" He says, "They're ruining this country." He says, "They're allowing all these foreigners in here, okay." He says, "I don't know what we're going to do." And I never said anything. He looked at me like he knew, he knew something, okay? He was an older man, okay? And it's like, wow, It's like, this is awesome, I didn't know what the heck they were saying because they're all speaking Greek. And it was a beautiful service. And, and it's like, and everyone there was older. They were older people, but they had their the men are on one side, the women on the, for the most part, and it was a very beautiful service, and the people were there were wonderful, and they knew something was wrong. They knew the country was going to hell in a handbasket, and they were just crying for the death of their soul. What's going on in America? So I've come here for freedom. I've come here to believe, be able to pray and worship God, and it's being taken away from us.
Amen. Very good. Hallelujah for that. Let me tell you about what my daughter, who's a registered nurse, told me, which will fit in perfectly with what you just said. Before that, though, Lane from Texas that's listening in says here that the FBI arrested that militia leader because he was a felon carrying firearms, but that was hardly... Or no, that was a handy excuse to make an arrest. Here's how you handle that. If you have committed a felony and you've done your time, then your rights come back to you. The whole notion that the government can limit your rights because of a felony arrest is ludicrous. If you're released from jail, that means you're able to come back into society. Your rights are restored, which means the right to cast a ballot if you had the right to begin with, and the right to defend yourself and own and keep and bear arms. Those rights come back regardless of what these satanic forces say. So the FBI is out of line. The FBI is actually criminals for arresting this guy, if that was the excuse, simply because he's a felon. Well, felons that are released from prison are on their own, and their self-defense is their right, which means they have a God-given right to be armed like the rest of us. So the FBI is out of line, once again, actually doing the work of the satanic forces rather than what, actually, the FBI shouldn't even exist. None of the alphabet agencies should exist because they are not part of the Constitution. The Constitution never gave the right to the government to establish secret societies and secret law enforcement and secret intelligence and all this other stuff, because they always get taken over by Jews. Anybody that knows anything about the alphabet soup agencies knows they're run by Jews. They were started by Jews. They were started by the John Foster Dulles and his brother Alan Dulles, both of them kikes, are the ones that started all this BS, particularly Alan Dulles. And Alan Dulles was a piece of shit, excuse my French, and John F. Kennedy was going to fire him. In fact, I think he did fire him for incompetence and being, and he was going to eliminate the CIA, and that's why they had him taken out. So, you know, the alphabet agencies, and this includes the FBI, obviously are not for our benefit. They're not doing anything to help us in any way, shape, or form. Now, along the lines of observations that you saw at that church and what that man said, let me tell you about a recent conversation I had with my daughter. She has recently left management. She went into management thinking she could make nursing better. She was disillusioned when she found out that it was more about procedure, data, and making money than it was people's health. And then they came to her and said that she needed to get a master's degree. She already has her nursing, which she had to get as a working mother of three children, put herself through school, quite a bit of school, to become a registered nurse, and then to be told, on top of that, you need to go back and get a master's degree. So she said, to hell with that. And she's now back on the floor, is what they call it. And the interesting thing was that because of the age difference, okay, most nurses, by the time they reach her age, have moved on to management of some kind. So she's back on the floor with very young nurses in their 20s, mid-20s to mid-30s or so. She said, Dad, I've been listening to these nurses, and she goes, you would be shocked at how many of them talk just like you do. I said, really? And she said, yeah. She goes, they are awake. Many of them are awake. They're awake to the medical mafia and to medicide. They're awake to the pharmacies and the pharmaceutical companies and what they're doing. They're awake to the dangers of the vaccines. They're awake to the mainstream media lying all the time. And they're awake to the fact that the government is lying all the time. And they're not happy. I said, my God, I'm shocked. And then she said, on top of that, two of the children are still in high school, and their friends come over to visit all the time, and her oldest son is local college, and so they have very young friends that come to visit. She goes, and sometimes I sit down with them, and I listen to their conversations, and she goes, you'd be surprised how many high schoolers are actually saying many of the same things that you're talking about. They're very cognizant of the fact that things are not right. Something is terribly, terribly wrong, and they're looking for answers. And I said, well, hallelujah. So, you know, it's not all lost, folks. And as one guy said in a YouTube recently, it's never too late, folks. That's what the enemy wants us to think, that there's no way out. We can't do anything about the beast system. But I'm here to tell you, the scripture says, who can war with the beast? The saints can war with the beast. Why do you think we're here? Okay, why do you think Yahweh put us here? What does salt do, Phil? Isn't salt a preservative?
Yep.
Aren't we the salt of the earth?
Yep.
Okay, let me ask another thing. I made a comment on a young lady. Bless her heart, she's a believer, and she's trying to be a truther, but she's one of these, well, Jesus says to love everybody, and you're never to be violent. Okay, she's one of them. So I wrote a note to her, and I said, well, you've mistranslated brother. It comes from the Greek word adelphos, which means from the womb. I said, those verses that said to love your enemies and turn the cheek were talking about between racial brethren who are of the same faith. It wasn't talking about giving forgiveness and turning your cheek to aliens and to atheists and devil worshipers, especially those not of your same DNA. That's not what it was talking about. And she wrote back, oh, you're confused. You need to pray about this because Jesus loves everybody and you should never be violent and never resist evil. I said, you are such a misguided soul. Unbelievable. I said, you are leading the sheep to the slaughter, youngster. You're leading the sheep to the slaughter by telling them such utter bull crap.
That's right. And it's just the system is such that the only people that are dying on this earth are the white race at the expense of everybody else, and we're feeding the rest of the world. And the system, this country was built on Western civilization and civilization in general. Particularly Western civilization, is built on the advancement of population, okay? And so throughout history, you have certain levels of development. You have a hunter-gatherer society, you have the agrarian society, then you have your industrial society, post-industrial, and all this kind of thing. And it's all based upon, and the more sophisticated the society becomes, okay, it's based entirely upon how much the population is holding. Okay, so it's always so the way they analyze sociologically whether or not a society is more advanced is based solely upon the population. Okay, if the population is bigger, it must be a better civilization. Well, what you're having today is you're having every single thing that will destroy a civilization is being promoted as normal, okay? And they intentionally make the government bad because the only way to solve that, as far as they're concerned, is throw more money at it. I mean, so it becomes like a virus, and it keeps growing and growing and growing. And what we have today is we have what Tenochtitlan was in Mexico. Okay, Tenochtitlan was the city that became, it's now Mexico City, but that was the center of the Aztec Empire. Okay, and that city, they'll tell you it was as big as Paris. It was as big as Paris. That's right. It was as big as Paris in terms of population. But they're having to literally kill the other Indians around them. It's like, okay, because they couldn't support them as far as their population is concerned. So they would. They came up with this religion that required human sacrifice because they couldn't feed that many people, and that's basically what we're having. And rather than having a growing and flourishing population, we're having a population that's dying, particularly those who are the most productive, the white man. The white man's dying off, okay, at the expense of everyone else, and the Jews are doing this, and they're thriving. Because the white man won't stand up and defend his own people, and we fight amongst each other all the time, and we have that.
You're not supposed to argue with anybody else,
Especially if the black does somebody's something, he's perfectly okay to do something, If he does something horrible, if he starts killing women or killing your neighbors, it's okay because they. When he does something bad, they treat him like a stray dog. He's like, well, he just has to learn, and I hear this all the time, and it drives me nuts. And the double standard is just insane, and people are waking up to that too. And they're waiting for somebody to say something. We're all sitting here waiting for somebody to say, this is wrong, and to actually act upon it, and not be worried about being offending somebody.
Well, I'm trying to think who sent me. Somebody sent me a thing here recently that talked about winning the hearts and minds of the people first before you have action. You have to get the people on your side. not everybody, but you have to get a rather large number of people who understand what the fight's all about. Because the quote that we talk about for the Founding Fathers that I've said many times, I'm trying to find it here so I get it right, but I could paraphrase it for you. If it were not for the pen of the authors of Common Sense, George Washington would have raised the sword in vain. So it's basically, if it weren't for the authors of the pamphlet called Common Sense and the writings of the patriots on the Liberty Trees, if they weren't doing that to awaken the people and the preachers, the black-robed regiment preachers, preaching liberty and Yahweh's law versus the king's law, if it weren't for that setting the stage, then George Washington would have raised the army and the rebellion in vain. It would not have worked. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like what we're doing. We're trying to raise the consciousness level, and so the people understand the reason, okay? Once you have the reason and the purpose well established, now the conflict becomes a whole different issue. Just like what's happening out there with the United Constitutional Patriots, okay? Their leader, supposedly a felon with weapons, okay? Well, who gives a damn, okay? You bastards in Washington, D.C. aren't doing a damn thing for us. That's obvious. And the bastards at the state capitol level aren't doing a damn thing for we the people. So do we care that this guy has a felony record? Besides that, the U.S. government has made so many things felons, a felony, that you literally could do something that's completely nonviolent, and yet they'll charge you with a felony, okay? And then claim because you're a felon, you have no more rights. Well, that's a government ploy to disarm us. I hope people understand that. This system is completely broken, all right? It's completely 100% broken. And we need to, again, the title for today's talk, build a better model. So let's build a better model, Phil. Why don't we declare that, you know, going forward, we are no longer going to support centralized government. They don't exist anymore. Walk away from it. It's like Max Egan said in his channel. What if all of us that are awake took one day out of the week and refused to comply? We don't drive anywhere. We don't spend any money. We don't support the beast in any way. We don't turn on the television. We don't turn on the computer. We don't do anything associated with the beast one day out of seven. Almost like a Sabbath, if you think about it. If your Sabbath is done correctly, that's pretty much what you're going to do on the Sabbath day. You're going to rest from everything. Well, what if we took the Sabbath and said that we're walking away? You don't exist for that one day out of seven. Can you imagine the effect it would have on the world if we all did that?
Oh, yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah. You know, the key, what you like to talk about on this program and what we're trying to get to people is that this is a kingdom message. You know, we have this, you know, you have the freedom of religion in your First Amendment, but that was always considered within the kingdom. You have free will to decide to be part of the kingdom or not be. But once you're in the kingdom, you have responsibilities, you have duties, you know, within that. There's a tremendous amount of freedom within the kingdom, but you cannot pick and choose which kingdom you're going to be a part of. Okay, that is counterproductive and is destructive, and we're embracing everything that's not part of the kingdom, because we're being run by these damn serpents, you know. And if it's anything having to do with the kingdom, that's against the Constitution. Okay, that's organized religion. Okay, but you know, when you're in the kingdom, okay, you don't even realize that you actually have a religion. Because there is nothing else. It's the way you live. And the only reason why you even call it a religion is because there are different belief systems in the world. But in the kingdom, you don't even realize you have a religion, because it's the only way you function, because it's the only one that makes sense. Because God's telling you that. It's as natural as breathing. And you do as God intends you to do. And it's how he created you. And that's And that's what we're here to build, is to build that kingdom, and to tell people that don't want to be part of that kingdom, you don't belong there.
Amen to that. Let me give out some verses here that should edify the folks as we're getting prepared for the final battle, because that's where we're headed, folks, in case you haven't figured it out yet. Okay, and if you think you're going to sit on the fence and in the bleachers and watch this one to go down, you're crazy. Okay, I'm telling you right now. You're dumber than a box of rocks if you think you're going to set this one out. Okay, John chapter 14, most certainly I tell you, he who believes in me, these are the words of the Christ now, the works that I do, he will do also. And he will do greater works than these, because I am going to my Father. That's telling us we have a commission. Then in Luke chapter 3 we have, he said therefore to the multitudes who went out to be baptized by him, you offspring of vipers. I wonder who he was talking to. Maybe the guys that eat the bagels, huh? You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, produce fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say among yourself, we have Abraham for our father, for I tell you that Yahweh God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe also lies at the root of the trees. That means their demise is virtually here. Every tree, therefore, that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I hope the bagel boys are listening in. Psalm 64, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the violence of the workers of iniquity. What does that sound like? Isaiah 54, no weapon that is formed against you will prevail. Are you listening, Jacob Israel, and to you militiamen out there? No weapon that is formed against you will prevail, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. I sure hope those alphabet agencies are paying attention. This is the heritage of Yahweh's servants, and their righteousness is of me, says Yahweh God. Oh, how about that? And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we have, he allowed no man to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to Yahweh all the earth. Display his salvation from day to day. That's followed up in Psalm 105 where it says, they went about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to do them wrong. Yes, he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. So a double witness in 1 Chronicles 16 and in Psalm 105. We are to be as bold as lions. We are to take a stand against what's going on. Now, Phil, I harp on this next subject. And tell me if you think I'm wrong, all right? And that's the idea of what form of government is biblical. And I'm gonna say once again, my vote is in a biblical monarchy, okay? Mm-hmm. And think about this. When Yahshua left this earth, he said, and he was called the King of Kings. Do you know of a verse that says he was the King of Presidents? Or king of prime ministers, or king of Congress, or king of Parliament, or any of these man-made virtual reality fictions that lord over us? Does anything say he's the king of them? I thought it says he's the king of kings, right? Mm-hmm. So we're to be kings, not servants, sure as hell not slaves. We're kings. And I personally believe, and our people all through history that we know of, the successes of our people were under biblical monarchs. I don't remember reading in the history of the Parthians, the Scythians, the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, the Gauls, the Celts, the Germanic tribes, Your heritage is Swedish, of the Swedish kings, and those of the Rus or the Russians. I don't recall ever there having a great empire or civilization under anything but a biblical monarchy. Am I wrong or right?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely 100% correct. We, you know, we have been suffering severely under this democratic nonsense, this fake monarchy garbage, or I should democracy, I should say. And they, and in 1789, they killed the king, okay, in order to try and replace it and to fight over who's going to be king. Divine monarchy is biblical, and our whole civilization has been strong when we've had strong monarchies, and when they're holy and sacred. And remember that a monarchy is based upon blood. That's racial. You know, that's making sure it's preserved. That's making sure, you know, they're well educated and everything else, and making sure that you're led by people who know right from wrong. This is why when you had to get a law degree, you first had to get a theology degree in order to practice law, because you had to understand your position with the Father, and that was and how you were, why you were created and your purpose in life. And if you don't have that theology degree, if you don't understand your position with the Father, you don't understand the kingdom, then the law means absolutely nothing. And our civilization has always done that. It has always flourished under a biblical monarchy, and without that, our civilization is dying. And after the French Revolution and the death of King Louis, they spread the destruction of the monarchies all throughout Europe, and that's what all these fratricidal wars have been about. They've been to destroy these kings, and to replace them with the law of man, or the beast, I guess you'd say. So, and because Christ is the King of Kings, he's not going to waste his time with the lowest of the low. You know, he doesn't, you know, he wants his king. You know, it is not God so loved the world, it is God so loved his holy order of arrangement, and there's a purpose for that, you know. And the rightful kings are not allowed to rule, because that is anti-modernism, I guess you'd say. Some might call it Americanism, but I would rather call it modernism. And we're realizing that the consequences of that. And our ancestors, we basically glorified our founding fathers because of how smart and intelligent they are. But unfortunately, from a political view, that was the high water mark. Was our founding fathers, and it's basically gone downhill from there, and we've basically fallen off a cliff at this point. You look at who's in Congress and everything else. They're just, every single one of them is utterly corrupt. I mean, there's no one there that is not utterly corrupt, except perhaps maybe the bailiff. I mean, I swear that's about it. Okay, everybody there has got something in their closet, and they're being bribed to do these things, and at this expense of the people. So if you don't get back to the biblical monarchy, we're gonna die. And it's democracy is just gonna be mob rule, and you're gonna have the UN ruling over you, you know. And it's dog eat dog, and quite literally that's what's gonna happen. And until we get back to that, our time is over. The holy empire of Yahweh the Father must be reestablished. It has to be.
Amen. So we're living today under a combination of oligarchy and kakistocracy. Basically, they've amassed power in a small group at the top. And that small group is the least qualified and most corrupt of our people. quite the opposite of what Leviticus and Deuteronomy say that we're supposed to have, which is just the opposite. Your leaders should be the best of your men, the most stable, the most sober, the most intelligent, the most well-read, and the most faithful to the Father. That's who your leaders are supposed to be. And if you don't get back to this concept of the biblical monarchy, folks, you're done for, okay? Are you listening to me? You think I'm just telling you this for my own good, okay? What happens to me doesn't matter in this world. It really doesn't, okay? I'm insignificant. I understand that. But what I'm telling you are not my words. I'm telling you what the Father's given me to tell you. Get back to a biblical monarchy, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the only form of government that the Father endorsed. And he only endorsed it because of our stupidity, because we had him governing us in person up until then. And we begged for a man king rather than the King of Kings. That's how stupid we are. Okay, so he said, I'll give you that. He never condoned any other form of government. The Parthian Empire was one of the greatest empires of our people ever. It matched or excelled ancient Rome. You never hear about it because the Parthians obeyed the Old Testament law. They were Israelites, obviously Israelites, whereas Rome eventually became pagan. So naturally, the Satan worshippers want us to think of Rome as being the biggest and most powerful. No, they weren't. Parthia was actually more powerful. In fact, the Parthian army engaged the Roman armies on two times on major battles near the Euphrates River and defeated the Romans in both of those major battles. And it was the Parthians that came to see the child Yeshua HaMashiach after his birth. It was an entourage of aristocrats from Parthia came to Jerusalem to pay homage to the Christ child. It wasn't three wise men that looked like Arabs on camels, okay? That's nonsense. In fact, there is a biblical verse. I should write it down so I could commit it to memory, but there's a biblical verse. Stephen Collins has it in his book. That talks about the fact that when the Parthian entourage showed with their gifts for the Christ child, the entourage was so large and had so many cavalry and foot soldiers with it that the people of Jerusalem trembled because they thought it was an invading army. That's how many there were. Hundreds of aristocrats, hundreds of covered wagons, and camp followers, thousands of troops to bring treasure to the Christ child. Jesus the Christ was rich. This whole nonsensical modern day image of this hippie running around in sandals, dirt poor, and begging people, etc., is just an illusion. The Christ was a king. He had money. He traveled. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. Christ spent time in the Misty Isles called Scotland, Ireland, Wales, and England. He spent time all over Europe and possibly even North Africa. Wherever the Israelites were, Christ traveled in his travels before his ministry started at the age of 30. So this whole concept is total bullcrap. All right? You need to learn the truth, folks. And we're being lied to about everything. The point I'm trying to make is the Parthians were great because the Parthians believed in the biblical monarchy, which means that their kings were elected, not by divine right, not simply by bloodline. In other words, if I die, my son automatically becomes king. No, he doesn't. He has to be elected like any other king. But the one thing that is true, the Parthians always picked their kings from a specific bloodline within their families, and they were called the Arsacids. And what you find out is the Arsacid bloodline was traced back to King David. So to be a king of Parthia, you had to be elected, but you also had to be of the Arsacid bloodline, which goes along with what you're saying, Phil. They had to be the best of the best. These were men of stature, of courage, of integrity, of honor, and obedience to Yahweh, Father God. In fact, one of the stories in his book, again by Stephen Collins, talking about the Parthians, was the story of when one of their kings became a reprobate. In other words, he became like King Ahab, and he turned against the biblical principles. The people deposed him and elected his brother as king. Do you know what the first act of the new king was, Phil?
No, I don't.
He sent out the army to find his brother and execute him, which is exactly what they did. They tracked him down, and he was executed for being a traitor to Yahweh and to his people. So even though he was a blood brother to the new king followed the law. He did not spare his own brother, the judgment written. And that's exactly what your monarch has to be. He has to believe in Father Yahweh and the law so much, he won't even spare his own blood. Okay,
well, you know,
who do we have like that, Phil, today amongst these so-called political leaders? Do you know of one? Do you know of one individual on either side of the aisle, or even in the, amongst the libertarians and the independents and all the rest? Do you know of one individual that would fit the model of a Parthian king?
Not even close. They'd flee from it because they might get, you know, get some sort of strange illness, or they're, you know, because they just wouldn't want to associate with what's up there, and, you know, in the halls of government. It's ridiculous. You know, back in those days, we look at political parties: oh, Democrat, Republican, Communist, Marx, whatever you are. Well, the political parties back then were families. That's what it was. It was like the tribes of, the tribes of Israel. They were families, and it all had to do with family, maintaining the family honor. Those are the political parties, and you had to maintain that family honor. And if you did not maintain that family honor, you were ostracized. You were put lowest of the low, and you were kicked out, and you lost everything. You had a fate worse than death. And that's what was important. And the king of the nation was acted as the head of the family. You know, the nation was the family. You know, and an attack on that nation was an attack on his own people. And he had a moral responsibility. He had a moral, ethical, racial, spiritual responsibility, and if he did not, and he was, fear was put into him that he would pay a horrible fate if he did not practice those things that he was taught from his childhood. It was his duty to do that, and while he may live in a big house, he had obligations that he could not escape from. You and I could quit our job tomorrow and do something else and change our identity. They couldn't do that. They had these responsibilities, and it was critical for them to maintain their position and not to shame their ancestors. Okay, ancestry respect was very, very important, and duty went beyond anything else. And you don't have any of that. You know, and people don't want to have children. They don't care who they marry. They don't care if they have any children, because they have lost all sense of family honor. When you don't have any family honor, okay, you don't have anything. Okay, I get mocked by women sometimes because I actually take care of my family, okay. And my mother's 81 years old, okay, and the only thing that matters to me is blood. That's the only thing that matters. Everything else
right.
is secondary.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. I hear from Israelites all the time that tell me the same thing, Phil, that they're mocked by the world because of their values. But here's the thing. Yeah, the lost The spiritually lost will mock you, but not the true sons of the Most High. They would honor you, okay? They would honor you, okay? So when people mock you for that, they're identifying themselves as part of the enemy, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's like I've told people, you know, the modern-day phony Christian church world, the whitewashed sepulchers, they're out there telling people, well, we need to save everybody. We're going to go down through the neighborhood and knock on doors and try to save souls today. And it's like, what a stupid-ass thing to do. That is not what Christ said. Where's the verse in there where Christ went up and shook a guy by the shoulders and said, you must obey me. You must follow me. You must listen to what I'm teaching. Christ never did that. And he didn't tell the disciples or us to do that. He said, you represent me, you're my administrator, you represent me in this sick world, and you tell the truth, and you are of integrity, honesty, and you uphold these things on a daily basis. That's what you do. Now, if somebody comes to you and asks why you are different than everybody else, okay, now you can witness to them. And what are you going to witness to them? Your life. Because you're living that life. You've got the Christ in your heart. You've had the shed blood poured upon you. You're just simply telling them who you are. You're not sitting there going, well, I'm going to save your soul. I get a credit. You know, Yahweh's up there with a pad of paper, and he's got a credit score going, and every soul I save, I get a credit. You know, and if I get so many credits, I get a bigger condo in heaven. What a bunch of hogwash.
Yep.
That's not how it works, people. You
That's
walk
right.
the walk, you talk the talk. You're not fake, you're not phony. That's what the world is. The world loves the fake and phony. Look at Hollywood. Every single one of those pieces of garbage is a fake and phony facade. They're just bags of bones. They're faces on an image. It's just like the people in Washington. There's not one shred of integrity in all of Washington, D.C. Not a shred. And that goes to the White House. Okay? Has the White House told you the truth about 9/11? No. Have they told you the truth about Oklahoma City? No. Did they tell you the truth about Waco? No. Have they told you the truth about anything lately? Pretty much not. Okay? Does Trump go to these false flags and call them out for being fake and phony? No, he goes along with it. And he goes along with the draconian measures that come to supposedly save us from the next terrible event. So he's doing the work of the Antichrist, and yet he's supposed to be our Savior? You can't have it both ways, folks. What's the scripture say about serving two masters? It doesn't work, does it? No, you can't do that. So Trump is trying to keep a foot in both hemispheres, the satanic side and our side. That doesn't sound like the monarch I want to follow into battle. How about you, Phil?
That's right. I agree with that 100%. Yeah, that's very, you know, that's very telling. I remember Bernie Sanders recently said that he wants to he wants prison inmates to be able to vote. Okay, and he thinks it's un-American, you know, and true democracy would allow the prison inmates, the lowest of the low, the murderers, the thieves, and everything else, the drug dealers, everything else, to be able to vote. And this is what the communists did with the Bolshevik Revolution. They let out the inmates, and they let them loose. And that's basically what he's wanting to do. He's wanting them to have a say, in the voting booth, as to how they're going to be ruled over. So the inmates are basically running the asylum. That's what we have today. The dumber you are, the more credibility you're given in the media. That's really how it is. If you're smart and so, you're just a mamby-pamby, you know. You must be books or something, you know. Yeah, I guess so. I guess I do, you know. Nobody ever reads anymore, it seems like. But that's the way it is. The inmates are running the asylum, and unfortunately, those of us who are still sane are going, oh my God, what's going on here? You know, please Yahweh, please come back, please wake our people up and fix this thing, because it's just. We're falling down a cliff, and it's got to be fixed.
Yeah, amen to that. That's why we came up with the 9 p.m. I call it the 9 p.m. prayer that we talked about in the last show. 9 p.m. every night. If you think about it, just stop what you're doing for a few moments and call out. Call out to the Father. You know, it's time to put an end to this garbage. You have to come back. You are our King and our Monarch, and that's all there is to it. So, real quick, Phil, I want to read Psalm 94 because it's one. I love the Psalms. The Psalms and the Proverbs. If there's only two books of the Bible you were ever to read, Psalms and Proverbs would be probably two of the best. A lot of wisdom, a lot of encouragement, a lot of common sense. But this is the 94th Psalm. Yahweh, you Elohim God to whom vengeance belongs, you Elohim God to whom vengeance belongs, shine out. Rise up, you judge of the earth, pay back the proud what they deserve. Oh boy. Yahweh, how long will the wicked triumph? They pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers boast. They break your people in pieces, Yahweh, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the alien, or the non-Israelite, the stranger amongst you, and the murderer, the fatherless. They say, Yahweh will not see, neither will Jacob's God consider. And notice that it says Jacob, Israel's God, doesn't say the whole world's God. Consider, you senseless among the people, you fools, when will you be wise? He who implanted the ear, won't he hear? He who formed the eye, won't he see? He who disciplines the nations, won't he punish? He who teaches man knows. Yahweh knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you discipline, Yah, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. I hope the wicked are paying attention. That's what your destiny is, the pit. For Yahweh will not reject his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. For judgment will return to righteousness. All the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the wicked? Who will stand up for me against the evildoers? Unless Yahweh had been my help, my soul would have soon lived in silence. When I said, my foot is slipping, your loving kindness, Yahweh, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of wickedness have fellowship with you, which brings about mischief by statute? Oh, how do they bring about mischief? By statutes, using the legal system against us. They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. Can you say abortion? But Yahweh has been my high tower, my Elohim God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and will cut them off in their own wickedness. Yahweh, our Elohim God, will cut them off. Now, Phil, aren't we his administrators? Aren't we his many-membered body upon this earth? Isn't that what it says?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay, so everybody's sitting around waiting for Yahweh to do it, when what's wrong with us doing it? What's wrong with the righteous men and women saying, I've had enough of this crap? Elect a monarch or a commander or a leader, or call him whatever the hell you want. It doesn't matter. But you better find a man of character that you can get behind and elect him and walk away from this current system. This current system is run by the beast, folks. If you haven't figured that out yet, you better wake the hell up. And it's not going to do anything but further enslave mankind. If you want to resist it, then do what the biblical principles teach and what history has taught, and that is for the white men and women to realize that this system is trying to destroy us. Pick your monarchs, your leaders, your commanders, your field generals, whoever else you need, and make sure they're the right kind of men. And then once you've decided that these are good men, then get in behind them and fix the damn problem. Okay? It's not rocket science. It's easily fixable. The problem is the righteous aren't doing a damn thing about it except bitching. And bitching isn't going to solve it. That's what the enemy wants you to do. That's why they allow all of this platforms and social media and everything else, because as long as you're bitching, you're not loading your boxes of ammunition. You're not cleaning your rifle. You're not sharpening your combat knife. You're not getting better skills at hitting an enemy at 1,000 yards because you're spending your time bitching on these platforms. The enemy loves that. And the enemy loves the idea that you think there's white hats in Washington that are going to save the day. Okay, well, where were the white hats that went out there and arrested that militia leader for no good reason? Okay, where were the white hats? Where were the white hats when these false flags are going on and innocent people are getting hurt for these false flags and staged events? Innocent people are getting hurt. Where's the white hats? Okay, that's what I want to know. Where's the white hats? Well, they have to do it slowly. They have to do it stealthily. Really? Phil, fill me in here. Where does it say in the book that we do things by stealth?
You do it right out in the open so everybody can see, but learn by your example. So, you know,
yeah,
you don't,
what do we,
you don't need
what do
to
we
hide
do?
In shadows.
Yeah, what do we do when we find a city that's in rebellion? Don't we walk up to them and ask and tell them that if you give up right now, you can walk away unharmed, but if you resist, we will destroy the city. Isn't that what the book says?
Yep.
So you walk up to the enemy and tell them, look, we're going to come with a hangman's noose this time tomorrow. Okay? You either straighten up or we're going to come back tomorrow with a noose. All right? No bones. No 5D chess. You people have committed crimes, and we're here to hang you. Do you understand? We're here to hang you. Now, those of you who have not committed capital crimes, but you've been blackmailed, bribed, threatened, whatever, if you walk away from these henchmen, these criminals, okay, maybe we'll show you clemency. But if you don't, we're going to hang you right along with them because you're complicit. If you're complicit in a capital crime, then you will hang with the perpetrators. You're complicit with treason. You will hang with the perpetrators. You either walk away now or you will hang with those who have committed these crimes. Do you understand? That's what real leaders will do. That's what real monarchs will do. Not this 5D chess bullshit. That's all garbage. Okay? Men of Yahweh stand like lions. When did you see a lion go up to a gazelle in the African jungle and go, I'm going to sit here and try to talk that gazelle into coming over and being my lunch. I'm going to sit here and try to play 5D chess with him, and he'll think I'm just a kitty cat, just a large kitty cat. I'm going to play 5D chess, and then I'm going to pounce on him. Do lions do that? Last time I checked, Phil, no. Lions don't act that way.
Mm-hmm.
Lions are lions. They're pumped full of testosterone, and they make damn sure everybody in the whole valley knows who the lion is, who the alpha lion is. Everything from the female lions to the cubs to the gazelles and reindeer to the elephants, everybody in the valley knows where that alpha lion is. He's not playing 5D chess. He's not pretending to be a bad guy so he can lure the bad guys in. No, when the enemy, the gazelles, or not the gazelles, but the jackals, when the jackals come in, the hyenas, he goes out and he gets in the midst of them and fights them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is. You know, it's like James Lancey has said in that program. It's time for our people to be lions again, Phil.
Oh, yeah. It is. Yeah, definitely. You know, on this Resurrection Sunday, we need to realize that true Christianity, true biblical truth is not a suicide pact. That Yeshua died for us so that we can live for Him. And if you want Him to return, you must begin to build the kingdom so that he will have kings to rule over. And until that happens, things are only going to get worse. And so we have a responsibility and to our people, to this world that we live in, and to the Creator. And that's what we were created for. And if you don't believe that, then you're not a believer. And don't pretend that you are, because you're just, all you do is go through the motions, and because you don't want to rock the boat when the boat is sinking. And if you don't fix it, there's going to be no return, and we're all going to drown, and we're already drowning right now. And we have to protect our civilization from this enemy. We need to throw out the enemy, and we need to clean house.
Yeah, amen to that. Absolutely, amen. Lane's ask again to remember to keep that mic closer to your mouth so that the volume's okay. A little higher. Yeah, but you're right about that. And again, the better model, I think, is to follow what our ancestors did. It's not like we have to reinvent the wheel here. Okay, we've got the models of the Roman and Parthian empires. When things got so corrupt, that was the Roman generals took the legions and they marched into Rome and they put the sword to the criminals, okay, and restored the republic. Same thing in Parthia. When the government, the monarch and his entourage became criminals, the brother was elected as the new king, and he went in there and put them to the sword. All right, so we have cases, case studies that work, and work very, very well. When Alfred was king of England, he codified the Old Testament and made it English law. And he was known as Alfred the Great. Why? Because English flourished under his monarchy. Because law was at the local level and it followed the biblical precepts. Okay? And Caucasian guy just said here that Alfred the Great is one of his ancestors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's... I can't stress it enough. We're trying to fix the problem with people who created the problem. These people, they actually think the government's going to fix the problem when governments caused the problem, all of the problems. All right? Every single thing that is detrimental to mankind today was created by governments. And yet people still think we got to work within the government. I'm here to tell you, you have a government. The government is on whose shoulders, Phil? Last time I checked, it said Yeshua's shoulders. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's your government. Yahweh himself through Yeshua. Yeshua is the government, and we are his sons and daughters, especially us sons. Okay? We sons are who he's looking for. Okay? Ladies, I'm not saying that you're not important. That's not what that's saying. What it's saying is the commission was given to the sons. We are to be the warriors. We are to be the administrators, period. All right? Whether you like it or not, support the sons as they become manifest in this sick, dark world. Because the only thing that's going to turn back the tide of these absolutely abysmal, demon-possessed Satanists is an army of righteous men that said, not going to take it. Now, case in point, right now down on the border, if I were monarch, let's say, just hypothetically here, if I were monarch, I would turn the militias loose on the border right now, today. I would sign the order. No state government is authorized to interfere with the militia. They are the citizen soldiers. Do not interfere with them, and you return that leader back to his home now. And the people that went after him, I would investigate for graft, bribery, or treason. How much simpler can it be? That's it. Every one of the illegal aliens in here, if you've committed a crime, we'll execute you. If you haven't committed a crime, you're going back. If you come back across the border, we will execute you. How many? Problem solved, Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Problem solved.
A wall is not going to solve a damn thing. That's a joke. As you know, as Patton said in the movie, whether he actually said it or not, I don't know. But You know, if you can have, if men can get over oceans and mountains that God created, you certainly can get over a wall if you want to, and or get around it. And you know, and so and if you're not willing to shoot the enemy and get just and to put the fear of God, you know, fear in them, okay, and so they don't go over the border, it doesn't do you a damn bit of good. It doesn't, you know, it's the will, it's the triumph of the will of our people, and we have been denied the right to have a will, because that would be mean, you know. So World War II, we were a bunch of meanies in Germany. Now we're going to be nice about it. So I look at it. There's going to be no turning back. And you can't do anything if the enemy doesn't fear, because all they're going to do is turn around and try and get past that border, and then they're free to get whatever they want. They're going to get their free health care. They're going to get their free food. They're going to get their free housing from all these traitors. And so until you start defending your own land, you don't deserve it. So.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, people say, well, who's going to stand up? Well, let's take a look at the militia, since we're talking about the militia. Okay, first of all, the militia obviously have courage for the fact that they even formed the militia in this day and age. That takes an act of courage. So these guys have courage. I would assume that they are patriots as well, and I would pray that they are believers in the Most High God. If they are those kind of guys, then there's your army right now. Okay, we have an army. It's called the righteous men. If they're not righteous, then I don't want any part of them. Okay, I don't care if they're defending the border or not. If you're not there for righteousness, if you're not there and every single member of your militia is righteous, then you're not going to succeed. Okay, and a lot of times that's who the enemy attacks, because they know they have no power. Okay, if you're not in the good graces of the Most High, you don't have the power. You don't have his protection. And they know that. That's why they want optics. They want this leader to be taken down to send a message, the same way Oklahoma City was a message to the militia of that time. Okay? It's all optics to the enemy. It's all by deception. That's what the bagel boys do, by deception. So the answer, of course, is that the righteous men form ranks and get ready. Okay, because it's coming. It's coming. And it's very, very close. So pick out your commanders, who you're going to follow into battle, because the battle's coming. Whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, whether you acknowledge it or not, the old saying, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. And the truth is, the governments of this world are exactly what the book of Revelation calls them. They are the beasts. The Roman Catholic Church and the whores, the daughters of the whore, known as Protestant churches, are riding on the backs of the beasts. The governments have carried them along, allowed them to do what they do, to give the illusion that you have a true church in this world. No, they're not. They are the whores of the Catholic false religion, and they are doing the work of Satan. Who's bringing in all these aliens? The Catholic Church, religious organization, the World Council of Churches, all of it, Jesuit, Jew run. All right? They're bringing them in. And if you build a wall, they'll bring them in by boat, by bus, and by airplane. They're already doing it. They don't give a damn about a wall, just like you said. Wall is all kabuki theater. The whole thing with wall is to get you to worship Trump as if he's a savior. I got news for you. He's not. All right? He's not. Phil, we got a caller. When I take him, it'll drop you, then I'll bring you back on. Gary, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, happy Resurrection Day.
Yep, happy Resurrection Day, yep.
As you were talking about the wall, I mean, you're right. The reason all them people are coming over for here for, you got to check out, oh, they want better jobs. They want, you know, they have to fix their country from that perspective. What bothers me, they're coming over here for all the freebies. First of all, they get food stamps, then they get money, they get free housing, they get a hospitalization, you name it, they get it all. They get everything we can't get, but they're using our money to pay for it. So you stop all the goodies, they don't come over.
That's right.
And they, and this is why they're coming over here, because we're giving them everything. If you're brown and you speak another language, you come over here, we'll give you everything you want that you can't get in your own country, because that's your people. They don't want to do to you, you know, what you can steal from us. So this is, you stop all that stuff. And then jobs, what was that, E-Verify? I can remember one time when that first came out under Reagan, before I could get a job. I'm an American. I didn't have my birth certificate because my parents lost it. So I had to walk right back to the hospital I was born in D.C. and wait and get it, you know, and present it to them before I could get a job.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm an American.
Oh, I know. I know. Mm-hmm. I went through the same thing. When I was up in Michigan, I wanted to get an ID card. I didn't have a driver's license, but I did want an ID card because I was getting tired of the bull crap that you go through. I went down. It took four trips to the DMV before I finally complied with all of their crap. I had to get my DD-214 was not good enough. My honorable discharge from the military was not good enough. My original 1953 birth certificate, still encased in plastic, was not good enough. I said, well, wait a minute, this is the original birth certificate from the hospital. What do you mean it's not? Well, it doesn't have a seal on it. In other words, the king, Ahab, hasn't put his seal on it, so you've got to get a new one. And I said, how do you expect me to get a new one? Well, you're going to have to call back there. And guess what I had to go through? So I called back there. I said, they're requiring me to get a current birth certificate. Well, you can't get it. I said, well, what do you mean I can't get it? Well, you can't, because it's your birth certificate. I said, well, who in the hell else would get one if it's not me? I want a copy. Well, you can't get it. What do you mean I can't get it? You'll have to get a relative. Do you have a relative? I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me I can't get my own, but my brother can get it? Yeah, if your brother contacts us, we'll send it to him. That's exactly what happened. You want to talk about stupidity. I mean, is that not the height of stupidity? I can't get my own, but my brother can get my birth certificate copy, but I can't get it. I mean,
I think that's called false government. We have a government that's certainly...
It's
committing
broke.
Tyranny right and left. I mean, why aren't we hanging these people for tyranny? Almost the whole Democrat Party, they all should be hung. What seems to be the problem here?
Well, they're coming.
Yes, that's what they're coming in and taking over our government, and everybody's blind. They're stupid. I mean, you can't. It's hard to defeat them now that they have all what they call non-whites voting for the Democrat Party. That screws us in the dirt. And they flat say it on TV right now about the whites of the Republican Party. They even say the blacks and all these other parties that come together, Republicans, that's the white man. You know, so I know that the Republican Party isn't all that, but it is the majority of the whites. And we're getting taken to the cleaners right and left. And a lot of our women are stupid. They're voting Democrats because the Republican or the Democrat Party supports killing your child before it's born. So they get to commit murder, and that's what they want to do. It seems like a lot of the women, they want the right to murder their children. It's stupid out there.
It's
beyond ignorance. Ignorant means that you don't know. Stupidity means you've been told, but you still won't accept it.
Well, so, I think the primary reason why women vote Democrat is so they'll have the state to take care of them in case they end up leaving their husband. or their boyfriend or even have one, so they don't need to they don't need to have a father figure in the home, and the state will take care of them. That's why they want that. They want the state to take care of them. See, as the old saying is, mom, you know, mommy's now a commie. So and so that's so you know and so, you know, and the way the media is, it's a heterosexual relationships are all dysfunctional, okay, and this is how the media operates. So you know, and the women will say, well, I'm not going to kill my baby. Yeah, you're going to have the state take care of it, okay, and but that's what they're doing. So. I think that's what you're saying. You're saying the destruction of the family. This is why you have women. This is why you have women in the workforce, is so that they can be taxed, and more importantly, that their children can be taken over and taught by the state rather than at home as God intended them to be. This is also why women are miserable, because they're utterly miserable, and this is why they're tattooing themselves and doing things and acting masculine, and they're miserable because they know they've been put in a position that they don't belong in, you know, and there's a war against what I call authentic femininity, you know, and one of the things when I mentioned about going to that Greek Orthodox Church, one of the things that made me really enjoy it was that all the women that were there were dressed really nice and in dresses. They looked really good. They weren't like trying to be like a guy, you know. You knew the men and you knew the women, and there was no confusion.
It felt better, didn't it? It felt real instead of this this fake churchianity business crap that we've got going on now. Let me pose a question to you guys, since we're talking about a new model. Well, what if all of the men of faith in our race, so we're talking about the right DNA and the right software, the right hardware and the right software, what if we all walked away? What if we all just went somewhere and said, we're going to start over? Pick a spot. I don't care where it's at. Pick a spot, and we all just said, you know what? We're walking away from all of you, and we're going to start over because we don't give a damn what Washington says. They're criminals. They're communists. I don't give a damn what the state capitol says. Most of them are also criminals and communists. So we're going to start over and just pick a place. Why are we acting as if we need permission from Satan's kids to do anything? Why don't we just go somewhere and start over? Just put a stake in the ground and say, this is it. In the name of Yahweh, we got our military men with us. We got our families. We're going to grow crops. We don't need you. We don't need your Federal Reserve. We don't need your stinking laws. We don't need your phony baloney court system. We don't need your handouts. We don't need anything from you.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Well, yeah. I wish we could do. I wish we would do that. I think there are a lot of people that would flock to that in droves. You know, the only country that's allowed to exist is Italy over there in the Middle East. That's what this system is doing. They're trying to destroy every single nation on earth, every single tradition, every single, you know, everything of any substance. And the only nation that is allowed to exist and have borders and to be able to patrol those borders is the satanic state over in the Middle East. And they're destroying everything around them. And they're also the ones that are opening up the borders and allowing the enemy, allowing the foreigners in, and until that's destroyed, until people realize that entity over there is the seed of Cain and not the seed of not the seed of Abel, not the seed of Adam, you know, not the seed of Yahweh, you know, that there's a deceiver. Until they realize that, nothing's going to be fixed.
We got a comment. Bubby 1483 says, if the Mormons and the Amish can do it, why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Mormons got a whole state.
That's my point. So, mm-hmm. and they're not even exactly right with Yahweh, and they're getting away with it. So what are we... Why can't we do that? Why can't we go somewhere and just say, look, we're here. We're here as the sons and daughters of the Most High, and we're here to stake a claim. You know, the rest of you can go to hell.
Do you think we'll be able to protect the borders?
If you're telling the truth, scripturally speaking, they'll send in the army and wipe you out. But if you're, for instance, going in there like the Mormons did, and you're not totally scriptural, they'll let you alone. Because it's Satan that's running the show, Lucifer, whoever you want to call him, and he knows what'll go down and what won't. So if you're too righteous, you're out of here. Send in your home right now.
Well, let me read a couple verses here that would say that might not be quite true. All right. Again, what did Father say? Will I find faith upon the earth when I return? Okay. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because you kept my command to endure, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. John chapter 10. I give eternal life to them, meaning to us, his children. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. All right? So, here again, I don't give the enemy that much credibility, to be honest with you. They work by deception. For instance, this whole atomic mutual assured destruction, MAD, is the reason that they've got us to believe that we need world government. All right? You know what I say? There are no nuclear bombs. That's what I say. I say, If you got them, send them. That's what I'm telling you. Send them right now. Come on, Israel. You've got the Samson option. Come on, send a couple of them up. Because if we form the righteous army, we're going to turn Israel into a sea of glass. Okay? Because it's a den of thieves. And you're going to be turned into a sea of glass. So send them up. They don't exist. It's like money. It doesn't exist. It's all digital right now. Nobody has money. You don't have any money in your home. Unless you got some gold and silver coins, you don't have any money. Everything's a kabuki theater illusion to keep you afraid to think the enemy's going to do this. I want to know, why do we assume they're going to defeat us? Okay? The truth of the matter is the people at Waco could have killed every one of those government agents. Do you know that? They could have killed every one of them. Why? Because the idiots went down there and ran out of ammunition. So even though the Branch Davidians were greatly outnumbered and outgunned, the morons ran out of ammunition. And you know what the Branch Davidians did? They allowed a truce. They allowed a white flag truce. And what did the government agents do? They resupplied their ammo and then killed them all and burnt the children to death. That's what you get when you are kind to these assholes. Okay? They could have killed every one of them. Do you think our people are going to be so kind? Do you think we're going to allow them to resupply themselves with ammunition if they come against us? Okay? And they were old men and women and children for the most part. Our men are going to be like the guys down there with the United Constitutional Patriots. That's a whole different story. You got to remember, our government is full of cowards. They like to attack you in the middle of the night, and they like to attack old men and women and children because they're easy, because they're cowards. When have they actually taken on an armed force, okay, of patriots? I'm talking about a real armed force of patriots, not the kabuki theater stuff like Waco and Oklahoma City. That's all kabuki theater. I'm talking about a real army of American red-blooded patriots. Trained as soldiers. When have they ever done that? The answer? Never. Because they're cowards. Again, I'll say it. Christ said, will I find faith upon the earth? The answer right now? There is none. Yep. Because of exactly what you guys said. If there was faith on the earth, we'd have an army today. we'd be marching somewhere today. We'd be putting an end to this bullshit, this nonsense, this murder, these wars, these bankers today. So the answer to Christ's question is, there is no faith upon the earth. Not enough to get anything done.
If the Jews really do, or if Itzalai really did have 800 nuclear missiles, where do they put them in a country that small? And have you seen them? Nope. You're only told they have them to scare you to not do anything about it. Okay,
hey,
you think you're gonna, that's it.
Yeah.
You don't have any proof.
You know what it reminds me of? Is when that kike, Steve Mnuchin, went to Fort Knox and said, yeah, the gold is good. Did they show you the gold? No. Did anybody go down and verify it? No. Did he even say the gold was all there? No. What he said was, gold is good. Well, yeah, anybody with a brain knows gold is good. It's always been good. Okay? So that's how the Jew lies. That's why they've done so well in government, is because our people have become so stupid, they believe all their lies. We don't challenge them. And the media is nothing more than a bunch of whores that are paid to replicate whatever the Jew says. So they put it in the paper that, well, Steve Mnuchin verified the gold. No, he didn't. He didn't verify a damn thing. The same thing with the whole nuclear program in Israel. Why do they murder people that tell the truth about their nuclear program? Because they don't want the truth to get out. They haven't got a damn thing. It's all kabuki theater. It's all Jewish Ponzi schemes and deception. That's how they do war, by deception. It's all kabuki. They don't have a damn thing. But they've been able to keep us in our chairs, haven't they?
Master, I visited a church about 3 weeks ago or so, and they were telling us all the stuff the churches do. So then we mentioned the Jews. And I says, well, those... They're not God's chosen people. Oh, yes, they are. This, the junk they go through. And I said, okay, I'm one of those guys. I'm just like you. Like you told me, I believe in the scriptures and what they have to say. And I says, and the reason I'm going to do this, because you told me you're a Bible-believing church. I says, could you open up your Bible to John, 1 John, I think it's John 4, and it states in there, those that don't believe in Jesus Christ came in the flesh or the Antichrist. Okay, I'm paraphrasing what it says, but that's what it says. And I says, now what does that mean? Well, everything, but this is God's chosen people. In other words, he has an exception clause for them, right? Can you show me where that's at? I'd like to read that. You see, so all I did was just read the scriptures to them have them read the scriptures. And they can't get around it. I mean, God said, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they're the Antichrist, and they spit on his name. They tell us how bad he is. They hung him from the tree. All that stuff. So I want to hear your excuses.
Yep. Well, let me read 1 John 4, exactly what you're saying. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of Yahweh God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Boy, you can say that again. By this you know the spirit of Yahweh. Every spirit who confesses that Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, has come in the flesh, is of Yahweh. And every spirit who does not confess that Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, has come in the flesh, is not of Elohim God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of whom you have heard that it comes. Now it is in the world already. You are of Elohim God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You see what I'm saying? We're lack of faith. If we had faith, we'd understand we're greater than they are. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of Elohim God. He who knows Yahweh listens to us. He who is not of Yahweh does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, right there, in a nutshell.
When people in the churches hear you say that, to let's say an elder or whatever they call them, or pastor, and the people hanging around, the next thing you know, they'll come to you and they're tapping you on your shoulder. What scripture did you say that was in? What scripture? Because they want to read it for themselves.
Right.
And you know, it's the old cliche that we've heard of, spread the word. You're spreading the word. In other words, wait a minute, this guy up here on the lectern has been telling us a lie, because they're not God's chosen people. You know, I mean, we're God's chosen people, not them. Well, you know, then they started making that argument. We've already said that. My children hear my voice, all that type of stuff. You know, the Canaanites, do they hear his voice? No. How about the Edomites? Of course, the Edomites especially don't hear his voice. They're out to kill you. So, and they'll do it adroitly. So you can't use that argument. I mean, it's stupid what's going on out there in the churches. If the people ever woke up to what's going on in the churches, because the churches should have been talking all about this government in the first place, and it wouldn't have happened. I mean, these politicians swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States. What United States are they talking about? What Constitution are they talking about? Because the one I read, they're violating every day.
Mm-hmm.
And to my understanding, once you start violating that, they put this thing around your neck called a rope, and they pull it very tight.
Phil's got something. Hold on a minute.
I'd like to point out what was actually happening, and I want you to keep this in mind. The Jews are the tip of the spear against our people. Okay, they are the spear. If you look at a spear, you know, you have the spearhead. Okay, that's what they are. That's why they're at the head of everything. Okay, now they didn't create these things, but they're being put there at the front of them. So you absolutely can't stand. Okay, so you begin to really hate them. They're at the very tip, and then you have the shaft of the spear, and that's made up of the other elements, the Freemasons, for instance, okay, the Vatican, the Jesuits, okay, you know, the bankers and all this stuff, and they are pushing that Jew element in your face. They're pushing it right in you, okay, and all these people that go to these churches that say, oh yeah. Okay, he's a Jew. Jesus is a Jew, you know, and they're God's chosen people because they see everything getting. They want to believe that everything is getting better. They deny the fact that the Bible tells us that things are getting worse, and they've been getting worse for a very long time. Okay, and if they're not getting worse, then there's no reason for Christ to come. Okay, so these churches have to live in this denial world, this illusion world that the Jews are God's chosen, and because they want to believe that things are getting better when they're getting worse, and they turn a blind eye to it and they don't want to talk about it. Okay, and they're the ones that our people are pushing. Are the spear, or the shaft of the spear that is pushing this, thrusting us into civilization, into our society. And when this wakes up, the spear will crumble. Everything that you see, all the structures will collapse. And the Jew is going to be at front and center. And all those who follow the Jew are going to be in deep doo doo. Okay, and that spear is just going to crumble to dust. Okay, and then you're going to have to rebuild civilization the way God intended it, with a holy, sacred monarchy. That's what's happening today, and they're doing this intentionally. They're doing this to destroy the Bible. They think they can destroy the Bible, okay, because they're using it against itself. That they're using Christ's forgiveness as license to do whatever the hell they want. And you can criticize anybody, but if you criticize a Jew, you're an anti-Semite, and the Jews will say, yes, of course, this is the game we play. And so you don't say that about, if a white guy commits a sin, you know, he'll say, you're anti-white, you know. So, and he says, of course he committed a sin, and he has to pay the consequences for that. If he commits murder, he has to pay the consequences. If he steals, he has to pay it back. And those kinds of things. But, you know, but if you say that to a Jew, well, you know, these are God's chosen people, and this is completely wrong. My brother has this idea that the Jews are somehow, you know, he says, well, they didn't kill, you know, they didn't kill off the enemy when they went into the Holy Land. It's like, yeah, that's because they are the enemy. They're the Canaanites. They were the ones that we were supposed to eliminate, and we haven't done it. And Hitler said in Mein Kampf, he said, by exposing the wickedness of the Jew, I am doing the work of the Lord. That's a direct quote. And he's considered the most hated person in the world. But at work at my job the other day, I heard somebody say, well, you know, I've heard some really noble things about communism. And I said, you know, that's the most deadliest political system in human history. And he just like brushed it off like it's nothing. So this is the kind of world we live in.
Well, there's hope because Yahweh God has a solution for stupidity. It's called death. Okay, so there is hope.
True.
There is hope for mankind because these retards, and they are retards that believe all this garbage that socialism, Marxism is good, transgenderism, homosexuality, all the perversions are good. All right, they're stupid. But mm-hmm. There's a good part of nature. See, you can't violate the laws of nature, no matter whether you want to believe it or not. You can't do it. Yahweh put the laws of nature into effect. And the law of nature is that if you're a weakling, if you're sickly, if you're ungodly, if you're a pervert, you're going to die, okay? Whether it's some disease, violence, whatever, doesn't matter. You will perish, okay? Case in point. If you took every queer to Madagascar and you put them on there and you came back 100 years later, there wouldn't be anybody left. Okay?
That's
because,
right.
Right. Because if you're queer, you're not going to have children. Okay? So if you really are queer and God made you that way, you're not going to have sex with another race or another sex. So we'll put you on Madagascar. We'll come back in 100 years and you'll be worm bait. Okay, the vegetation there will be doing really well because there's a lot of nutrients in the soil from all the dead bodies. Okay, so the point of it is Yahweh has a plan for stupid people. It's called death. Okay, the point of it is we don't need to go along with it. That's the problem. I got no problem with idiots dying from their own stupidity. I have no problem with that. You people go be as dumb as you want to be, but leave me and mine alone. That's what the true believers of the Father want. They want to be left alone. That's why I like John Mark and his proprietarianism, who talks about peaceful separation. So does Mr. Doolittle. So does E. Michael Jones. So did Misha Popoff and many, many other guests. Peaceful separation, as long as you allow us to do it. If you don't, then it won't be peaceful. I got no problem with that either. But I'll choose peaceful separation, just like Noah and his family. Let's just get in our ark. Once we're in our ark, Yahweh will close the door like he did for Noah. He'll put a barrier there. Let's get in our ark and walk away from this stupidity. These people want to commit cultural suicide, but we don't have to go along with them. That's what I don't understand. Where are the white people that still have common sense and brains? Why don't we just walk away and go somewhere? Why do we think we got to go down with the ship? These idiots are drilling holes in the bottom of the Titanic. We know how that ends up. Why are we not getting in lifeboats and getting the hell away from it? The Titanic, mm-hmm. known as this world, is sinking. Let the Bernie Sanders of the world be your masters. If you think mm-hmm. that perverted piece of garbage is so great and his Marxism is so great, well, then go with him. Leave us alone. We don't want to be part of your system. We want separation.
Well, you know, one of the things that I take from what's going on today is that I think it's helping us to realize that we have been deceived in ways that that we just don't realize. Like, for instance, when I was in the 80s, I remember when they had the AIDS situation. know, they had always talked about, you know, the gays are in the closet, the gays are in the closet. Well, and then they all of a sudden had to come out, you know, and now if you don't come out, you're a traitor to being gay, to the gay agenda. And the one thing I do like about that is that people have this false notion that these queers are just, oh, they just love people, they're just so loving. And but then when they realize what it really is, and when it's in your face, and when it's being taught to your children, and when it's they're utterly destroying your civilization, you're going to learn that this sodomite mafia has got to go. It has to be eliminated. And we can't. And white flight for the righteous white has to. There's going to be a point where we're going to have to stand our ground, and we're going to have to fight back. And the fact that the Jews, or the system, I should say, is opening up the floodgates of total perversion and making it mainstream, there's going to be a pushback. And when it pushes back, believe me, it's going to push back major. And once that happens, just hold on, because you're going to know who the perverts are, and you're going to know who's going to go. This is what happened in the Baltic states in World War II. When they were briefly liberated by the Germans, they knew who these damn Jew communists were, and the Germans couldn't hold back the Lithuanians and the Latvians and the Estonians. They were just going in there and just taking out these pieces of garbage and hanging them from a tree. Okay, they did the same thing in Czechoslovakia in the Cold War.
Right.
Well, you know,
again, history will repeat itself, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's going to happen whether we purposely or say something or try to instigate, it doesn't matter. It's just going to happen. Go ahead, Gary.
He mentioned something about the areas where we would go in. I can remember when I was young, they used to have what they call block busting. And what that was is they would bring a black family into an area, a nice area. I mean, it happened here in San Diego. All over. And the next thing you know, people are selling their houses and getting out of town. You know, and next thing you know, the blacks got the area, and it turns it into garbage. Now what's happening is it's reversing, because the areas are so cheap, that's the only place you could buy a house anymore is in those areas. And the property's good, house is good. You just got to go in there, and you got to get white people to come back. And that's how they made that move back in the 60s. In the 60s, a lot of crap happened, and that's the time that I came up. So, you know, I know that. And another thing you mentioned was about the Jews. People call you, Jesus was a Jew. And when somebody tells me that, I say, can you show me that in the scriptures? Of course, they'll go to Pilate. And I'll say, yes. And if you remember, if you read the King James Bible, Jesus counters back to Pilate saying, that's what you say. In other words, sarcastically, Jesus says, that's what you say. In other words, he's saying, I'm not saying that.
Right.
Pilate is saying that.
Right.
So the issue there is Jesus never called himself a Jew. Pilate did.
And
Jesus.
And the word on the plaque that they nailed on the cross said King of the Judaios, which is the people of Judea. It wasn't Jews. I recently put that in a blog. I said, you know, you people proclaim to be telling the truth or scepter the truth, but you keep using this word Jew. I said, that's the first clue that you don't know what you're talking about. There is no such thing as a Jew. All right? A Jew is a made-up word. It's a fiction, okay? It came into existence in the 1700s. Okay, so none of the ancient peoples, none of the writings of Scripture have the word Jew in it. It just does not exist. So in the Septuagint, you've got Judaios, and again, that means one of two things, either a member of the tribe of Judah, which is our people, or somebody living in the area of Judea, which means it has nothing to do with race. It simply has a meaning of demographics. Okay, so context determines. So when he said King of the Judaios, we don't know what he meant. Okay? He probably meant Judea, because that's where they were at, in Judea. So he said, King, you're King of the Judeans, the people in Judea. And he said, no, I'm not. That's what you're saying. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm here as the Redeemer. of my kinsmen. I'm a kinsman redeemer. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How many times has he said that? I'm here to redeem what was lost. There's only one group of people. There's only one set of DNA that was ever referred to as the lost sheep of Jacob. That's us.
Well, you know, now that you mention that, Pastor, you go back to, I was listening to a sermon from this guy who was sitting in his church, and I asked him about it afterwards, but anyway, he gave a sermon on Matthew 28, where he was already resurrected, and he was up on the mountain, the 12 apostles come up to him, and he sent them out to preach to the nations, okay? And he says, see, everybody uses that one to say, see, he's over here, send him out to preach to the nations. Go back to chapter 10 of the same book, Matthew. He's doing the same exact things there, sending them out to the nations, but he says, but go only to the houses of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. So why would he change his mind from that chapter to this chapter? He's saying the same thing. He's not going to change his mind in the same book. So we know who he sent them to. I mean, yeah, there's going to be other people listening to the sermons, you know, and then I don't know.
I suggest you read the Archco letter that I have a copy of, and you can easily find. It's written by Pontius Pilate to Caesar, and it's a detailed account of his encounter with Christ, and it describes what happened, what he looked like, and everything else. But you'll never hear that because that would be politically incorrect. And also, by the way, as far as him being the so-called king of the Jews, when in reality it was Judeans. It's similar to the way, if you would think of the British Empire, if you say that in the 19th century that the Queen Victoria was the Queen of India. Well, yes, that was. She was Queen of India, but she was certainly not from India. She wasn't an Indian at all. When India was under white rule, they got rid of a lot of their hideous practices that they were doing. But now, unfortunately, because of the end of the white rule over India, it's deteriorating. It's becoming it's going to the lowest of the low, and it has no real guidance. And it's gone from what had been actually a pretty cool country to something that's just a mud pit. That's all it is.
You know, it's interesting, Phil. You mentioned that because I'm reading a book about the literature of Gandhara, the Buddhist literature of Gandhara, and it talks about the fact that the original Buddha was an Aryan, okay, and his teachings were basically scriptural, and to the surrounding people. He was a Brahmin, okay, which we know that the Brahmins of ancient India were white people. They were Aryans, Caucasians. And in this book, he even talks about all this stuff. Now, he doesn't take an identity approach. He's just simply a professor who's put together all this information about the manuscripts that have been found recently in Gandhara, which is a part of northeastern India in that region, okay? And all of the Buddhist literature was written in Gandhari or Pali or Tibetan or Chinese, almost all of them. And so he makes these little off comments that support the identity message all the time. So again, the statues, the early statues and figures of the Buddha were obviously an Aryan, okay? And his teachings, when you boil them down, they're just common sense things, telling people to be clean, observe hygiene, have your fleshly desires under control. All that's scriptural. Okay, that's scriptural. Our people have taught that same message for years, and they considered him a Buddha, which I think it means enlightened one. Okay, well, to the surrounding dark races, that's what our people have always been. That's why they referred to us as gods, which is just a word meaning magistrates or superior beings, as far as enlightenment. And that's all the Buddhist writings were. Now, they turned it into something else, and then they started making little statuettes of this roly-poly Michelin tire guy with slant eyes and called him the Buddha. Well, the original Buddha was anything but that. So, again, we pervert everything today. But when you dig, if you take the time to dig, now, how many people are going to read a book like this? Probably not very many. But if you took the time to read it, you find diamonds in the dung. That's the saying that we used to get. You might have to read a lot of dung, but if you keep reading, you'll find those little nuggets of diamonds. And the diamonds are that, once again, the identity message of who the Aryan peoples are, where we traveled, what we represented to other peoples. Now, is it the Buddha's fault that they turned it into a false religion that's practiced today by the monks? No, it's not his fault. He was just looked at as an enlightener and a teacher, and he taught the students, and later on the students were called monks. Well, they turned that into a false religion. Really,
Pastor, I got to get going, but I wanted to wish all of you that are listening, and you, Pastor, of course, happy Resurrection Day, and keep up the good work, and Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, Gary. Take care, bud.
Yahweh bless, Gary.
So, you know, again, if we're willing to do the work and we're willing to take the shovel and do the digging, whether it's in a book or it's in the dirt, actually, there's a young man that's a former comedian out of Hollywood named Owen Benjamin, and he is fun to listen to because he's very commonsensical. He uses his talent that he learned as a comedian to put out truth. And one of the things he talked about in a recent video was how good he feels by working, because he's left Hollywood. He now has a family living in some remote area, and he's on a farm, and he's learning how to do organic gardening, and they're homemaking, homemade furniture. They've got goats and animals. They've got vegetation. And he says, we were made to work. He goes, this whole idea that government gives you all this stuff and this soft life, he goes, where's the joy? Where's the joy of putting your hands to tools and to create something and to grow something and to take care of yourself? They've turned us into victims. They've turned us into these little cucks and soy boys and girls that believe somebody's got to pamper us and take care of every little problem. He goes, you don't understand that God created you in a body that requires work. Okay, in the scripture it says that we were cursed, but was it a curse? He simply said that for the rest of your time you will toil. Well, guess what? Mm-hmm. What we don't understand is that toiling is what keeps your body healthy. Okay, mm-hmm. The lymphatic system, I've got training in this. The lymphatic system has four times the amount of fluid in it that blood. So you've got more lymph fluid in you than blood. But the problem is the lymphatic fluids don't have a pump. The heart system, the blood system, has the heart. The lymphatic system requires movement. It requires your limbs moving, your body moving up and down and twisting and turning. That's what keeps the lymphatic system moving, which carries your disease and waste products out of the body. So guess what? You sitting on your ass in front of a computer or in a classroom all day and then going home and sitting your ass in a chair watching TV, gee, I wonder why you're sick. You see what I'm saying? We look at it as a curse to have to work for a living or to work to grow our food or to put our houses up or whatever, when in fact, it's not a curse. Our bodies were designed for that.
Yeah. Yeah, the Marxist communist system is the most anti-labor system there is, and yet they market it as labor. But their purpose is their ideal state is where you don't do any work, and you know, then when you don't have any work, you're miserable. And this is why you have this gender confusion thing, because the men are taught that their ideal state is not to actually do any labor. There's obviously either get somebody else to do the labor or them to just sit around and ponder things and look in a computer and then become miserable and utter wretches. So this is what we're living under, and it's sad. It really is. It really is. But it really is sad.
Yeah, amen to that. Believe it or not, we're getting awful close to the three-hour mark. So did you have anything else you want to say in wrapping this thing up today, Phil?
I just want to wish everybody a very blessed Resurrection Sunday, and to use this to strengthen, to remember that his blood is there for you to live, to fight for the kingdom, and not to roll over and play dead, and that you have a responsibility to fight evil wherever you see it, and to expose it, and to do whatever you can to rid it. And we have a responsibility to our families, our personal family, as well as Yahweh's family, and to build His kingdom as best we can, and to expose the enemy, and do whatever we can to win utter victory. And I wish everyone the very best, and to remember this day, and to remember the love that He gave to us, and do not cower, and have courage.
Amen. Excellent. Excellent, Phil. Well, Yahweh bless, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been an honor, and I wish everybody the very best. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Phil. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, we thank you for being with us, and for those that listen later on in the downloads, again, happy Resurrection Day. Ishtar is not our holiday. This whole Easter thing is not of us. A lot of paganism and many, many things that we call Christian today. We need to walk away from that. Phil almost said the closing prayer, actually, in his last statement. So, but on this Resurrection Day, during the time of Passover, to hell with the Satanists and their dark week. They can rot in hell for all we care. On this Passover period, we remember that we're the sons and daughters of the Most High, and our Father watched over us while we were in the midst of our bondage in Egypt. Nothing says He can't do it for us now. And the main thing is the blood of Christ. That's the separating factor, folks. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's really, not of a concern to us. We're just simply here to tell you the truth. The truth of it is the blood of Christ covers it. It puts you back in communication with the Father, sets you right, forgives your sins, and gives you a new start on life. You become a new creature. And it's literally true. You do. Your whole outlook on life. And you no longer worship the beast. You no longer long for Babylon. The intricacies and delicacies of Babylon are what He tempted the Christ with, and Christ denounced it all. And that's what He's got you with. That's what all these flat screens, the 5G, all of these little delicacies that they're offering you to make your life more pleasant and more exciting. They're all fake and false. I'm telling you, you got to come to the Christ. That's all. I can't say it in any more plain English than that. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, glory, and honor. Thank You for this opportunity to share. We thank You for the folks that are listening in, ask You to bless their hearts. We know that our people are very, very frustrated as we watch this wickedness rise up, just as Noah and his family, I'm sure, were very upset watching all of the terrible, terrible things going around them as they built their ark. And so we, like them and our ancestors in Egypt, we are under the yoke. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. So many multiple millions of our people have perished under very, very dire conditions. And it's time for it to end, Father. We're asking and begging in Your holy name, put an end to this. Raise up those that You would have come into the kingdom and bless them and protect them and set them to the side, and then bring the fires of heaven down on this corrupt world. The sin and the sickness and the death and disease and the terrible, terrible things that are being done against mankind need to be put to an end. And we just ask that You would do it sooner rather than later. Forgive us our sins, guide us in all that we say and do to Thy glory and for Thy kingdom. And as always, Father Yahweh, please protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.